Welcome back to the Be a Force podcast, brought to you by B Squared Management. I'm your host, Melissa Lopez. And on today's episode, I've got with me Steve Snyder. Now, Steve is going to tell us all about his book. It's called Shot Down. So we're going to talk all about it. And there's a lot more to the book than you may or may not know. So we're going to get into that. But before we dive in, Steve, how are you today?
I'm doing great, Melissa. Thank you very much.
So I have to ask you this, Steve, how have you been doing during quarantine? I know I've been asking everybody that, but I mean, it's been such a crazy time right now. And, you know, people are dealing with things in such different ways. So how have you been doing?
Oh, we're fine. In most ways, it really hasn't affected me and my wife that much. I mean, we're retired, and so we don't have any little kids at home. So that makes it a lot easier.
Yeah.
The big change is that normally I travel all around the United States, going to air shows, signing copies of my book, and doing lots of speaking to different groups. And so obviously haven't been traveling at all. But we've been fine, no problems. I'm catching up on a lot of projects that I wanted to do, organizing stuff. I walk 4 or 5 miles every day. So life's good.
Wait, 4 or 5 miles? Here I've been priding myself in 1 mile. I got to step it up. Every time I do a mile, I'm like, yes. But no one's told me I should do more than that. All right, Steve, we might have to challenge. I might need to challenge you. Oh, wait, no. You're challenging me because I have to do four. I have to do it more than a mile. That's awesome. It's so good for you. I love walking. It's so good. It makes me feel so good. So let's talk about your journey and your book, Shot Down. So I know your book is based on your father's journey. So tell me about what led you to decide that you needed to write this book about what was happening with these pilots.
Okay. Well, growing up, I knew the basics of my dad's World War II history. I knew he was a B-17 pilot. He was stationed in England with the 8th Air Force. His plane was named the Susan Ruth after my oldest sister, who was 1 year old at the time that he went overseas. And he flew bombing missions over Europe. And in February of 1944, his plane was attacked by 2 German fighters. It was shot down. And he was missing in action for 7 months, but he evaded capture and eventually got back to England. But it wasn't until I retired in 2009 that I really had the time to delve into my dad's war history in more detail. My parents had kept a lot of material about the war, and I just wanted to go through that and organize it and learn more details. And at that time, I had no intention whatsoever of writing a book. But there were 2 items that were really significant. One was a diary that my dad wrote while he was missing in action about his plane being shot down, which is absolutely riveting. That's in the book. And the other were all the letters that my dad wrote to my mother while he was stationed in England. He was really candid in the letters.
Yeah.
And I just became fascinated with the story of my dad and his crew. It became my passion. And 3 years into my research, I just came to the conclusion that the story of my dad and his crew was so unique and so compelling that people needed to know about it. So I decided to write a book.
That is so awesome. And you know, what's so interesting is how you found out that, you know, your dad had all this stuff going on, you know, during World War II, and you knew a little bit and you decided to dive in. And you mentioned that your parents didn't really share very much. Now, was there a reason why they didn't share a lot about, you know, his story during World War II? Or was it just that, you know, you really didn't get around to it? Because I know with parents, I mean, sometimes it's not intentional. They just really don't share sometimes.
Well, yeah, a couple different things. One, like most World War II veterans, you know, my dad didn't talk a lot about the war. Those guys that came back after World War II, they just kind of looked at it as that, hey, you know, their country needed them. They had a job to do. They went and did their job, and they came home and got on with their lives. So they didn't really talk about it. Then the other thing is when, you know, when you're young and you're growing up, you know, you're interested in your own, what you're doing as a little kid, you don't, you know, you're pretty much tunnel vision. And then, you know, you become a teenager and you go to college and you have or start raising a family. And so you just don't ask those questions.
Right.
But in 1989, there was a memorial erected to my dad and his crew in the little village of Mackenwas, Belgium. That's where his plane came down. And he and the other 3 living crew members at the time went over for the dedication. And there he was reunited with all these Belgian people that hit him from the Germans after he got shot down, visited these homes and farms where he was hidden. And that brought it all back. And he started talking about it after that. And then my first trip to Belgium, I've been there six times now, was 5 years later in 1994, when my wife and I accompanied my parents to the 50th anniversary of the liberation of Belgium celebrations and of my dad's plane being shot down. And that's when it became kind of personal for me because I saw these places firsthand.
Oh, wow. That's crazy. That, I mean, wow. I mean, what was it like for your dad? I mean, you know, well, I guess let's just talk about the book because I feel like we're going to get all of that information because I'm just like so intrigued by all of this. So let's talk about Shot Down. So before you wrote Shot Down, what were you doing? And then I'd love to know about your process of getting all of the information together to make sure that you had the full details and everything you needed for creating, you know, the best story that would really do honor to those men in the, you know, of the B-17, Susan Ruth.
Okay, well, I was, I'd retired and I was just kind of living the life of retirees, sleeping in late, reading books, going for walks, taking naps. And then I, you know, started on this quest of to research. And I am so fortunate and so blessed that I know and found out so much information, detailed information about my dad and each member of his crew, because the book's not just about my dad, but it's about what happened to each member of the crew and about all the Belgian people that risked their lives trying to help them. So it's all based on firsthand testimony by the people who were involved in the events that took place, either members of my dad's crew. A B-17 had a 10-man crew. Five of the crew made it back home, but five of them did not.
Oh.
Of the five guys that made it back, you know, information from them. And I probably wouldn't have written the book if it wasn't for two Belgium gentlemen, Dr. Paul Delahaye and Jacques Lalot, who were young boys during the war. They were greatly affected by it. They saw firsthand the atrocities committed by the Nazis against their friends and family. And later in life, they became local historians. And they interviewed all these Belgian people and members of the Belgium underground about events that took place. And they documented their testimony. And they gave me unbelievably detailed information about events that took place that have been lost forever without their dedicated research. So I owe them a huge debt.
Yeah. Oh my goodness. That's insane. Now, when we're going through this story, of course we want no spoilers, because we want everybody to go out and purchase your book and read it. I would just love to know, I mean, in particular, I know you talk about the other people in the book and we'll talk about them as well, but because it's so dear to you, near and dear to you, because your father was a part of it. I'd love to know, like, what did your father share that you shared in the book about that fateful day when, you know, it was shot down?
Okay, it was on February 8th, 1944. It was on a bombing mission to Frankfurt, Germany. And they dropped their bomb successfully, but their bombay doors got hit by anti-aircraft fire, which was called flak. And they couldn't get the doors back up. And as a result, that caused a drag in the plane and they started losing airspeed and they fell behind the B-17 formation that was after the bombing raid, they were heading back to England, back to their bases. And so they started lagging behind and they were singled out by two German Focke-Wulf fighters and like wolves or, you know, lions coming in on, you know, injured prey, they came in and picked off the Susan Ruth. And in the ensuing air battle, two of my dad's, the Susan Ruth was shot down. Two of the crew were killed in the plane. The other eight were able to bail out. After my dad bailed out, he came in down in some trees in Mackinac, Belgium, and his parachute got hung up on the branches and he was dangling 20 feet off the ground and couldn't get down. But fortunately for him, a couple of young Belgian men, Henri Franken and Raymond Durvin came to his rescue before the Germans got to him. This occurred about in the early afternoon. They told him to stay put and hide because they thought it was too dangerous to try to move him during the daytime with German patrols combing the area. So that night they came back and got him and took him to the Durvin farmhouse. He stayed there just one night because they thought it was too dangerous for him to stay there any longer than that with those German patrols in the area. So a Belgian customs officer, Paul Tilcan, came on a tandem bicycle to take him to another location. a safer location. And after that, he was moved from place to place to place. How long he stayed at any given location depended on how brave the people were who lived there and how dangerous the Belgium underground thought it was for him to stay there. He might stay one night at one house or 6 weeks at another house. And the people who hid my dad, or any down nearman for that matter, were unbelievably brave people. They risked not only their lives, but those of their friends and family. Because of the German secret police, the Gestapo, found out about it, they would be arrested, tortured, and either shot or sent to concentration camps. And some of the people who helped my dad and other members of his crew did meet that fate.
Wow, that's crazy. Now, I know you got a chance to talk to a pilot who shot down the plane, which is incredible. I mean, I don't know that I would have been able to do that. I mean, that would just, like, I don't know. I mean, your dad was able to come out on the other side and he survived it, but still, just knowing that he was a part of it had to have been scary. Now, what was that like for you talking to the person who participated in shooting down this plane?
Yeah, that's pretty unique. It's an interesting story that, you know, all my dad knew and all the U.S. Air Force knew at the time is that two German fighters shot his plane down, and that's all I thought I'd ever know. But one day when I was doing my research, my wife just casually mentioned, well, why don't you try to find the German pilot that shot down your dad's plane, which I thought was a, you know, ridiculous idea. She's naive. She doesn't know what she's talking about. It'd be impossible. But like a good husband, I did what she told me to do, and I found Hans Berger. That's his name. Unfortunately for me, he became a translator after the war, so he speaks perfect English. And actually, he's the only member of the shot down story that's still living. He's 96 years old, lives in New York City. And we've become friends. I felt a real kinship with Hans, because I get asked, you know, well, don't you hate this guy that shot down your dad's plane? But a few different things. One, you know, he was pretty much just like the U.S. airman. He was 20 years old, just a young guy, you know, fighting for his country, trying to do a job and trying to stay alive. He said it was unfortunate they had to be shooting at each other, but that was war. And right. The other thing is that World War II was the defining moment of my dad's life. And at one point in time, Hans Berger's life and my dad's life crossed paths. So Hans is a part of my dad's life. He's a part of my dad's story. So I feel a kinship or a personal relationship with Hans. And I said, I've been to Munich a couple times to visit him, and we've become friends. It's an amazing thing. He goes, gosh, we sit there, and he goes, here I'm sitting with the son of a pilot that I shot down, and at the same time, the gunners on my dad's plane actually shot Hans down at the same time. They shot each other down.
Wow, that's insane. Now, like, that's so crazy, but it's understandable. I mean, it's like you get this special connection with somebody who was a part of your dad's history and ultimately a part of your history, right? Because, I mean, your dad is you. This might sound random, but did your dad's story at all inspire you to in any way participate in the service and doing other things, you know, to fight for the country or anything like that? Or was it something that you just were very proud of and you continued his legacy through your book? I mean, I know people take things so many different ways, but I mean, you're so passionate about your dad's story. So I'm just curious of how it affected you.
Well, I was in the Army, for 6 years during the Vietnam conflict. Fortunately for me, my unit didn't get called up to go over to Vietnam, but I served from 70 to 76 in the military. And my oldest son, Doug, I have three sons, he served in the Army as well. But really, my passion is just trying to keep the memory of, you know, not just so much my dad or his crew, but really all the men in the 8th Air Force who fought the war, the air war over Europe, or really all the men who served during World War II, is to honor their legacy, remember their legacy, and to try to educate the public about it. Because World War II was 75 years ago, it ended. Which is a long time, and it's fading in people's memory, and we cannot let that happen. And that's why I travel all over, and I I do interviews and I make presentations, is to try to keep the memory alive of the who I think are the greatest generation.
Yeah, and you know what? It's great that you're keeping it alive, because it is a part of our history, and I'm a big believer in, like, I know I said it before, but, like, you need to know about the history, because that's how we can make sure that we don't repeat it when it comes to the negative things that have hurt us, so we can move forward and make sure we approach things in a better way. And we lost so many people in that, and there has to be other ways to make sure we don't, you know, lose all those people. I mean, 5 out of 10 got lost in just in that plane alone. And that's, oh my goodness. It's so crazy. It's so weird to talk to you about it, because it's like, I know you weren't the one on the plane, but, like, I feel like it's connecting me so much because you're so directly connected. It's so interesting. So, Steve, do you have any plans on writing any other books?
Not right now. I did make a 13-minute documentary short about the story, which I've entered into a number of film festivals. So far, it's been accepted by 11. It's shown in
awesome.
Five. And of the five that it's shown, it's won awards in four of them. So that's pretty neat. And the reason of making the documentary short is, you know, hopefully maybe, you know, someone might be interested in either making a full documentary or making a mini series or a movie about the book. A lot of people read the book tells me it should be made into a movie, and it certainly.
I think so.
Yeah.
I think it, I mean, honestly, like, if I could back it, like, I mean, how much money do we need? Like, do we need a loan? I mean, I just think it would be a great movie. Like, I think it would be such an awesome film to create. I mean, I know you did the documentary, but I think it should totally be like a full production, and like, oh gosh, it'd be so good. I'm super into like wartime movies because I think it's so important. I keep saying it, but like, you don't even understand how much of a documentary buff I am. So I think it's amazing. So if I can support it in any way, you let me know. I mean, seriously, if you start working on it, let me know. I will, you know, promote it. I love that. Wow, Steve, what an incredible story. So let everybody know where they can find you, the book, the documentary, and let's be ready. I'm going to put it into the universe. Let's be ready for the full motion picture of B-17.
Well, most people get the book on Amazon. Like about 60% of all the books purchased are purchased on Amazon. It's available as a hardcover book and as a print book. I mean, and as a paperback. And in the print book, there's over 200 time period photographs in the print book, so you can visualize everything you're reading about. And then it's also available as an ebook in all different formats, Kindle or Nook or what have you. And it's available as an audio book as well, but there's no pictures, of course, in the audio book. And then if someone wants a personally signed autographed copy, they can go to my website and order one. My website is stevesnyderauthor.com, and Snyder is S-N-Y-D-E-R, stevesnyderauthor.com. And on my website, it's just not about the book, but there's tons of information, research information about the air war over Europe, World War II. There's videos, movies, links to all these different other websites. So if someone's interested in learning more about the air war over Europe or the 8th Air Force or World War II, there's a ton of information on my website.
Oh my goodness, Steve. Seriously, please make this into like a feature film. I think it's such a, listen, I'm in LA, okay? So if you need me to go meet somebody for you so you don't have to fly out over here, I'm down. I think this would be such a great film. I mean, the story is incredible, and it would be so awesome for you to be like a producer behind it, to tell your dad's story and all of the men that were a part of that, part of that crew. Steve, please come back and we have to talk some more. Thank you so much for talking to me today. I really appreciate it.
Well, thank you. I really, really appreciate being on your show. I've enjoyed it very much.
Thanks again for listening to the Be a Force podcast, brought to you by B Squared Management. I'm your host, Melissa Lopez. And until next time, be a force.